In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this Sunday's gospel presents us with the parable of the wheat and the cockle. And the word cockle is from Old English, and it designates a genus of weeds, though our Lord here was most likely referring to something called corn cockle, which, despite sounding like perhaps a tasty snack, is not. It's a weed with a pink and somewhat hairy appearance. And it's poisonous, both to animals and to humans. In fact, even a relatively small amount can be enough to kill a horse. In the parable, our Lord describes a man who, at harvest time, instructed his workers to gather up both the wheat and the cockle, ordering that the wheat, the life-giving wheat, be saved in his barns, and that the useless and harmful cockle be burnt. I should think that the sense and the meaning of this parable are fairly obvious to you. It is an image of what will happen on the last day when Christ returns in judgment to deliver his elect and to condemn obstinate sinners to everlasting hellfire. But will the elect, will those souls who, through the mercy of God, have died in a state of grace, go directly to heaven? Will they too not have a certain fire to pass through? In all likelihood, most of these will indeed be in need of a certain purification. And this, you know, brings us to the ancient doctrine, the Holy Catholic Church, concerning purgatory. A doctrine rooted in the words of our Lord himself and ever taught by Holy Mother Church. For the month of November is now upon us, and that means that we turn our minds and hearts to our dear departed loved ones, and indeed the souls of all the faithful departed. It's fitting then that in today's epistle, St. Paul reminds us of the utmost importance of the virtue of charity, which is the bond of perfection. The love of God and the love of our neighbor for God's sake. St. Paul says, but above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are one body, and be thankful. So we are fundamentally called to the practice of the virtue of charity, this highest queen of the virtues. And in our zeal to practice works of charity to those here on earth with us, I wonder if we can sometimes forget that the departed souls have just as much, if not more, of a claim on our charity. The souls in purgatory, it is true, know none of the despair or the rage or the hatred which permeates the souls of the damned. Indeed, they are filled with a far greater joy than we could ever conceive of. For they know that the day of their deliverance will come, when they will be released from their sufferings and united to God forever. Nevertheless, for now, they are undergoing torments far more painful than those we could ever imagine on earth, but which we have a certain ability, by God's grace, to mitigate, to reduce, to render more tolerable. What of the traditional Protestant objection that there is no reference to the doctrine of purgatory in the Bible? The word isn't found there, it's true, but then again, neither is the term Holy Trinity, and yet the vast majority of Protestants indeed believe in the Holy Triune God. It's quite clear that the substance of the doctrine of purgatory is in sacred scripture, as if already the explicit description in the second book of Maccabees of the worthwhileness and the utility of praying for the souls of the dead, for the very reason that it can release them from their sins, as if this were not already enough. Our Lord makes a veiled but nevertheless clear reference to purgatory. Unless we were to suppose that he had come to earth uniquely to give us purely legal advice, as if our Lord had descended from heaven because we had to go to small claims court. What does he tell us? He says, "And whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled with thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift. Be at agreement with thy adversary, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest perhaps the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison." Prison. "Amen, I say to thee, thou shalt not go out from thence till thou repay the last farthing." Pious traditions also, and many private revelations of the saints concerning purgatory, abound in the history of the church. One of them recounts that there was once a certain mother, weighed down with grief because of the death of her beloved son, her only son. But she made the mistake of not considering the good which she was able to do for him by religious means, notably offering up prayers for the repose of his soul, having masses said for him. But God saw the affection of her heart, and knowing that it could be properly ordered, he sent her a vision. And she saw in this vision a great procession of youths going by, clad in beautiful white garments, covered with ornaments, and chanting lovely hymns of praise towards a magnificent temple. The mother searched and searched anxiously for the vision of her own son amongst these crowds, but to no avail. She finally saw him after the rest had gone by, and his robe, unlike those of the others, was not white and clean, but dark and sullied by many stains. He did not walk on easily, as had the other youths before him, but he advanced with heavy, labored steps. It was too much to bear, and her grief-stricken sobs flared anew. She exclaimed to him, "Son, why are you so much sadder than your companions? Why are you so far behind the rest?" He replied, "Mother, you see these mournful and sullied garments? Behold in them what your obstinate grief and tears for me produce. Your unreasonable grief weighs heavily upon me and impedes my progress. Cease abandoning yourself to mere natural feelings. Arouse your faith and aid me by works of charity and faith. Assist me by your pious suffrages, as is done by mothers not less affectionate than you, but more wise and religious. Then shall I be enabled to join the happy company you have seen, and to attain to that heavenly bliss for which I long with so much ardor." Then he disappeared, and leaving his mother with a desire to obtain his release from purgatory, just as strong as had been her grief. Saint Bernardine of Siena reveals to us a somewhat consoling detail of purgatory, one which demonstrates the great mercy of God, because it involves the lessening of the pains of the souls in purgatory. He teaches us, Saint Bernardine, that the pains of purgatory should be referred to as waves, because unlike the fires of hell, they are not never-ending, but transitory. They come and they go, and then they come again, and they go again, and so forth, and so on, until the soul is finally released. They are like waves of the sea. Moreover, our Blessed Mother, Mary, frequently visits the souls in purgatory to offer them consolation and encouragement. We see then another one of the advantages of being a devoted servant and child of Mary here on earth, for she cannot forget her devoted children when they depart from this life. Our Blessed Mother once said to St. Bridget of Sweden, "I am the mother of all the souls in purgatory, and the pains which they merit for the sins they committed in this life are, as long as they remain in that place of suffering, hourly mitigated in some measure by my prayers. Even the bare mention of the name of Mary, which means hope and salvation, and which these souls frequently invoke in this prison, brings them great consolation. And it is our duty in this life, and especially during the month of November, to bring what measure of consolation we can to these holy, suffering souls. By our merits and prayers, even the simple act of visiting a cemetery and praying for some short space of time for these souls, when joined to the usual conditions of obtaining a plenary indulgence, can obtain for these souls, indeed, the full remission, the venial sins in which they died and the temporal punishments due to the sins remitted them, immortal sins remitted them in the sacrament of confession. It is not even strictly necessary to visit a cemetery. You are probably aware of some of the other means of obtaining plenary indulgences. The pious reading of sacred scripture for a period of at least 15 minutes, when joined to the usual conditions, obtains a plenary indulgence. The recitation of the Holy Rosary in community, that is, two or more persons, is another means. So is reciting the Holy Rosary by oneself, but in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, that is to say, in church. There are many means. So just as we strive to practice charity towards those here on earth with us, we have to strive to practice it towards those who have left this life before us, for they are now in their hour of greatest need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.